Welcome to Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We are so glad you decided to join us today. We know you're going to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by this powerful sermon. There's a reason for the cave is the title of our sermon today. We're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and we're going to read in verses 6 through 11. Are you ready? And then we're going to hit a couple other chapters. Let's go 6 through 11. As they were coming home, when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul. With tambourines, with songs of joy, with musical instruments. And the women sang to one another as they celebrated, "Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very angry, and this saying displeased him. He said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands. And what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day on. The next day, a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre as he did day by day. And Saul had his spear in his hand, and Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, "I will pin David to the wall." But David evaded him twice. Chapter 19. Let's read verses 1 and 2. This is the same David that had been told he was going to be king, correct? Verses 1 and 2 in chapter 19. "And Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, 'Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Therefore, be on your guard in the morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself.'" Look down into verse 8, 8 through 10, same chapter. "But there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and struck them with a great blow, and so they fled before him. Then a harmful spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in his house with his spear in his hand. And David was playing the lyre, and Saul sought to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he eluded Saul so that he struck the spear into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night." Chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. It says, "Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said to him, 'You son of a perverse, rebellious woman.'" Wow. "Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as a son of Jesse lives," that's David, on the earth, "neither you nor your kingdom shall be established." He hated David so, he was so jealous. "Therefore send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die." Look over in chapter 21. We're going to read verses 10 through 15. Just giving you some insight into what's going on here. Chapter 21, verses 10 through 15. "And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, 'Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath." Look at what he results. This is so sad. "So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, 'Behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?'" Chapter 22, verses 1 and 2 says, "David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him, and he became commander over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by life? Has life ever discouraged anybody in here this morning? There may be some in this room today, right now, that you are going through a time of discouragement. All of us do. We just read some text that shows that David is in the cave and he's going through one of those times. And it's sad to me. It brought tears to my eyes to think that here's this prophesied king and now he's in this damp, dark, dreary cave. He's not going to lay his head on a sumptuous pillow in the palace. He's going to lay his head on a dark, damp cave floor. Alone, defeated, I would imagine very discouraged. He's in a cave experience. I've been in them before. You've been in them before. If you have not been in a cave experience, you will be. Because it's in the cave where we get broken. The world sees no value in brokenness. But great humility, deep humility, is a spiritual brokenness that God values. God values brokenness. And he was going to use David's time in the cave to help him get spiritually stronger. There are times when we find ourselves in one of life's cave experiences. We think all of our help is gone. We think all of our strength is gone. We feel alone. We are discouraged. And we feel many times deserted. And there may be people all around us, but we still feel like we are alone. We are in our cave. And like David, we're dwelling in one of the caves. We often fail to see the hand of God in the midst of our cave experience. God is in it. As much as in God is in a time of blessings, he's also in the times of the cave. And as much as he brings times of blessings into our life, he brings cave experiences. Because in every single one of us, there needs to be a deep work done. And we are never done having this work done in our lives. Why do we have to have this spiritual brokenness? Because every one of us are afflicted with something that we all need to get rid of, and we're afflicted with self-sufficiency. We think we can get things done on our own. And if you really look at your life right now, if you really were honest with yourself before God, you've been self-sufficient too. Because if you're never praying, you're self-sufficient. If you're never in the Word, you're a self-sufficient person. Because broken people need God. Humble people need God. And they need Him so desperately that they find Him in prayer. And they find Him in the Word. If you're never doing spiritual devotions, you're a self-sufficient person. You're going off your energy, your strength, your intelligence, and your abilities. And that's the very opposite of the way God wants you. The world looks at the guy who's the driven A-type personality, you know, dominant type of person. I'm going to get it done. I can do it on my own. I've done it all on my own. I can do everything on my own. That's not the kind of person that God honors. God honors someone who's broken in humility before Him and realizes they can't do anything on their own. So the cave can be a really beautiful place to be. And this self-sufficiency, guess what? It clings to us even after we're saved, because it's in our flesh. God's going to try to get rid of all of that in all of our lives. There's a reason for the cave. Saul's becoming jealous of David. I've been there. You have great things happen in your life and people just almost begin to hate you. And they're supposed to be men or women of God. David running from King Saul, acting like a madman. How sad is that to see this great man of God? But there was a reason for all of it. He's in a cave. He's brought to the bottom of his life. The crown prince of Israel is living in a cave. Turn to Psalms 142 because it talks about this particular time of David being in the cave. Psalms 142, and we'll read verses 1 through 7. Psalms 142, it's written during this period. It says, a maskil of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. We'll read verses 1 through 7. Look at his words. He says, with my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint or my trouble before him. And when my spirit faints within me, you know the way. And the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. Look at what his words here. No one cares for my soul. I cried to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. We should not expect as believers to go through this life untouched by sorrow and pain and trials. I think to be a good evangelist, it's one of the first things you need to tell people when they come to Christ. This is not going to be an easy journey. It's not for the weak of heart. It's not for the faint-hearted. John 16:33, just write that down. John 16:33, Jesus said this, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So just as it was for David, these cave experiences are going to be part of our earthly experience. But how many of y'all are happy today and excited to know that there's going to be a home we're going to go to where they can't follow us? Amen. God allowed David to come into the cave so David wouldn't learn to lean on his family, his friends, his finances, his fame, his flesh, or the future. And a great place for God to have you is when he strips you of all the props. All those things that you think are going to be your way out. He needs to strip you of all your self-sufficiency. He wants you to delight in him. And I wrote this down. He wasn't, he was taught to wholly lean upon the Lord. Have you leaned upon the Lord completely in your life yet? We still lean on our jobs. We still lean on our bank accounts. We still lean on our retirement accounts. We still lean on our 401k. We still lean on our savings accounts. We still lean on our insurance. We still lean on a lot of things when God's trying to say to all of us and will put us in a position where he can strip all of that away. And I will say, if you never submit, you will never walk in the high places that God wants you to walk in, because you're always going to be trying to hold on and doing things your own self, or someone's going to help you know this. God is your source. And when we learn to submit to God and wholly lean upon him, our life will never be the same. God wasn't trying to destroy David. He wasn't trying to discipline David. He didn't put him in a cave because he did something wrong. He was trying to develop him. Job's friends, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You must be in sin. Our friend who went through the hip surgery, was going through all that sickness, all her church friends, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You must be in some kind of sin. Well, maybe God wanted to put her through all that, to go through the hip transplants and all those things to develop her. And we all have our own journey. And we don't want to go through the cave. We're going to have hard times. We're going to have caves. But I have a word for you today. The cave experiences often come before the times of building up in victory. Illustration, David was alone in the cave. We're going to read a little bit later about what happened to him next. Jacob was alone in his tent. Elijah was alone by the brook. Job was alone surrounded by his so-called friends. Moses was alone on the backside of the mountain, and Jesus was alone in agony in Gethsemane before Calvary. But each of these experienced great triumph after these moments of their lives. So sometimes, or many times, or probably all the time, before the great triumphs come, we got to go through a cave of development. We hate it. We don't want it. We may not like it. We may not understand it. The Lord has brought you to a place where you have no one and nothing but Him. He's done you a tremendous favor. When you have nothing and no one else but God, He's done you a favor. There's lessons that we learn in the dark of the cave that we can never learn anywhere else but walking through the cave experience. And He's done us a tremendous favor because He's going to show us that He's more than sufficient. Not your money, not how much is in your bank. Not how much you have for savings, not your retirement. He's more than sufficient. Not you. And that He's more than enough. Verses 1b to 2 says, and when his brothers and his father's house heard it, they went down there to him, and everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter. Look at all the people that gathered around him. Everyone who is bitter and soul. So you got these people that are coming through the opening of the cave. Some of them are just distressed. They're all living under the tyranny of Saul's rule. And so they're going through this terrible time in their life, and they're distressed, and some are walking in, and they're all in debt. Can you imagine? They didn't walk in there skipping through the cave opening. They came in there all downtrodden and slumped shoulders and pouty faces and mad and crying and grumbling and complaining. And they all come in, and everyone, I love this one, who was bitter in soul. You ever been around a bitter person? Well, they came in, and they were bitter. They've been through sitting underneath this, again, this tyranny of Saul, and they're bitter in their life. So they all gather around him. It says, and he became captain over them. There was with him about 400 men. So after a while, he's in the cave, and all these people start showing up. His family and the downtrodden. You know why they came? Because they believed he was the man. For the future. You'll see something in this, because I did. He used this motley group of people to show David that he still had a plan for David's life. He used this motley group of people to show David, I still got a plan for your life. And then he became the captain of 600. And I'll say to you, maybe I'm saying it to me, I don't know how God's going to do it, but somehow while you're in the cave experience, He will come to where you are and confirm His faithfulness and His promises to you. Elijah had his ravens. God has a way of showing us that it's going to be all right. He sticks us in the cave, and while we're in there, and we feel like we are forsaken and we are there, but God will use something, someone in there, bring them in to show them, I'm not done yet. But the great thing about David is he rose to the challenge. He didn't sit in the cave and stay discouraged and stay downtrodden and stay all bitter with everybody else and get into a big bitter pity party with everybody in there. He rose to the moment. His heart was revealed. He rose to the challenge and led. But it took pain and problems to squeeze it out of him. What's in your heart today? What do you do when tough times come? What are you doing in your cave right now? What are you doing, or what happens to you when the squeezing comes? How do you react? What happens when you get squeezed? Do you keep on praising Him? Look at your attitude. Think about it. Look at yourself in the mirror. There's a mirror right in front of you right now. How are you reacting? Do you get bitter, or do you keep on praising God, knowing God's going to work it all out in the end? Suffering through troubled times will expose your heart like few other things can. In who you are in Christ, in who you are in God, and how you see God is going to come out of you in your attitude when you're in the middle of the cave. That's why some people, either they never get out or it takes them a whole long time, because they never submit and they never grow from it and they never allow it to develop them into who they're going to be, and they never, here's a point, rise up to the challenge. So they sit in the cave and they never become what God has intended them to become. I don't want to be just saved. I don't want to just be saved. I want to be everything that God has called me to be. Can I get an amen on that? In spite of what the circumstances said about David in this situation, David held on to the promises of God. Let's go over into Psalms 57. We're going to read verses 1 through 11, and let's read his words. Again, when he fled from Saul in the cave, Psalms 57, verses 1 through 11. And as I read them, I want you to hear and see a heart change. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. Verse 3, He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out His steadfast love and His faithfulness! My soul is in the midst of lions, and I lay down amid fiery beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Look at his next words. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Verse 6, they set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. Look at how he begins to build himself in encouragement. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and I will make melody. Do you feel like singing in your cave? I will sing. You're being developed when you know you can start singing in the middle of your cave experience. I will sing, and not only that, with a good melody. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. That's a heart God can use. I know David made the one terrible mistake, but David had a heart after God. This is what God wants to see. David just sat in the cave, and man, all of a sudden it switched in and he started to glorify God and sing and make melody before him. He knew where to go in times of trouble. He knew who his refuge was. And David knew that God would come through for him in his time. In his time. So while the pressure is on, don't turn away from the Lord. Remain fully committed. Because nothing demonstrates our commitment to God more than how we respond in the midst of a trial or a cave experience. I see this in my own life. I've seen this in my own life. How am I responding? It's not the storms you weather that define you. It's the way that you weather the storms. How are you in the midst of your storm today? What is your mouth saying? What is your attitude? If we ask and interviewed people that are around you right now, who have been around you in the middle of a cave experience or a storm, or you're in one right now and they're around you, if they were asked and interviewed how you are acting, what would they say? There's a reason for the cave. The distress came to David. That means to be under stress and under pressure. They were in debt. They were bitter. They had been mistreated. Here's this group of hundreds of people gathered around David. You're the man. And I want to say something in the midst of this. They go to David because they know that he's God's man for Israel. And I'm sure that David couldn't see in his life what they were seeing. And I say this because I thank God. David may have only seen defeat and discouragement. But I thank God for the encouragers who come by in your cave to lift you up, to say something encouraging to you. We need people to encourage us. They gathered themselves around. They believed in me. Even when he was down, they came. You're the man. You're the man. So much was taken away from him. I'm sure that was so painful. Remember what we said earlier? We don't like these times, but they often precede times of victory. Well, let's just look over in 1 Samuel. Look over in chapter 23. We'll just read one of them. Read verses 1 through 5. Been in the cave. Got all the indebted people. People in debt, stress. You know who those people became? Some of those became David's mighty men. Wow. Verses, look at verses 1 through 5. Now they told David, behold the Philistines. Remember, he was just in a cave. Downtrodden, discouraged probably. Here come all these people. Now he's leading some people. Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are robbing the threshing floors. Therefore, David, what did he do? He inquired of the Lord. He didn't go to himself. He didn't go to his own strength. Remember when he numbered the people and Satan talked him into it and God got, because God doesn't care about the number. He just wants you to inquire of him. So it says, therefore David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack these Philistines? Should I attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go attack the Philistines and save Keilah. But David's men said to him, behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the enemies of the Philistines? And then David inquired of the Lord again. Because now all the people in the army are going, well, we're afraid. We don't know. Should we go? Now he's going to go back to God and make sure that this is what he was supposed to do. And the Lord answered him, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand. And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their livestock and struck them with a great blow. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. There's a reason for the cave. Some may say there's a reason for the cave. David walked in there broken and defeated. And he emerged as a captain of an army of 600 mighty men. And he proceeded on to victory after victory, the cave, and then the victory. The cave refined David, helped him to prepare for the tasks that lay ahead. It helped him to prepare for the tasks that lay ahead. The cave will prepare you. Listen, when you're in a cave, God's going to use those experiences to get you ready for what he has for you. It helped him be prepared as a vessel to be used by the master. He grew in the cave because he submitted to the cave. If you never submit to the cave, you're never going to grow. So I ask you in closing, what about you? Are your cave experiences blessing to your lives, or are they seem to be burdens that are too heavy to carry? If you need someone to help deal with your cave experience, do what David did. Remember what he said. He said, "My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises." We're going to sing in a minute. "Awake, my glory, awake, harp and lyre. I will awake in the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations." We're going to sing in a moment. "I will sing praises to you among the nations." So you're coming out changed and prepared as a vessel to be greatly used by God. Somebody say, "I am." Somebody say, "That's me." So don't stay in the cave discouraged and distressed and downtrodden. Let it develop you so you can come out and be what God has called you to be. Because none of us want to go to our grave not having fulfilled everything that God has called us to fulfill. So hear it out of your pastor's lips this morning. There's going to be caves and there's going to be stresses and there's going to be tough times and there's going to be problems and they're going to come along, but they are there to develop you. You must know as you leave here this morning, there's a reason for the cave.
Thank you for joining us at Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We pray this sermon blessed you, encouraged you, inspired you, and challenged you in your walk with Christ. Thank you for being with us, and come back and visit us anytime. God bless you.